Despite equality legislation dating back to the 1970s, with the Equal Pay Act, the Sexual Discrimination Act, and the Equal Opportunities Commission, there is arguably still a divide between women and men in the workplace as well as in society as a whole. I'm joined today by George Newton, who specialises in this area and works here at Bournemouth Uni, to try and find out a bit more in the lead up to International Women's Day. What is your role here at Bournemouth?
I came here as a PhD student and been a part-time lecturer, and now I'm a lecturer finishing my PhD.
And what's that in?
My PhD is focused on the socialisation impact of media on young working class girls, so particularly 11 and 12 year old working class girls, and what they want to do in their futures.
So why did you decide to focus on this area?
I'm particularly interested in the role the media plays in socialising. I think there's a lot of panic around what the media does to young people, and I think that young people have a lot more agency in terms of how they use the media, how they negotiate with the media. I don't think we're all mindless dupes that get conned into believing what the media says. And I'm particularly interested in, why do women or girls end up in the jobs that women and girls end up in? Why are we still sort of complying with gendered norms? And I expanded that to cover futures, not just work, you know, their choices for their families, their futures in terms of where they live, etc.
Gendered roles, can you tell me a little bit about what that is?
So in terms of work, looking at, you know, why are girls underrepresented in particular jobs? Why are girls predominantly nurses, carers, teachers, etc., whereas there seems to be a lack of young women in the medical aspect of doctors or vets? So that's one aspect of gendered roles. The other aspect of gendered roles that I think about and talk about in my research is the roles that women or girls take within the family. You know, women still take primary responsibility for housework, caring roles within the families, whether that's caring for children or caring for elderly relatives. And if you look at the legislation suggests, you know, that we have a reasonably equal society, you know, equal opportunities, Equal Pay Act, etc. But it doesn't exist. It doesn't translate into the reality of life.
Obviously, in terms of fair pay and equal opportunity, you know, you've said legislation exists there, and it has come a long way. You know, women obviously can have children and have jobs now, which is so exciting.
Yeah.
But where does it need to go, do you think?
I mean, equal pay is a classic one. I mean, that's 42 years old, that act now, yet we don't have equal pay. I think the average is 18% difference in pay on average for men and women. Well, where does that need to go? It needs to go up by 18% for women, basically. I mean, that, and I think that is the thing, that actually there are a certain point at which we can go so far in terms of encouraging men and women to actually move into jobs and occupations and roles within the family that challenge the gendered norms. But actually, we need to make it a level playing field. And although there's legislation, it's still not a level playing field. There's still a cultural expectation of what is feminine or female roles and what is a masculine or male roles. You know, maternity and paternity pay has been a shift in the right direction, but there's still an expectation that there's very few men actually taking up the opportunity for paternity leave. Maybe that's a choice, but what I challenge, and both within my research, but I also suppose this is a bit of a passion of mine, I challenge the perception of choice. Because actually, when you've got a culture of norms that tell us certain roles are most appropriate for certain genders, it's quite difficult to overcome those choices.
Is there anything we can do?
I think we need to be more political. And I think, I mean, there's been shifts in the sort of women's movement. If you think about the sort of first wave, you know, suffragettes, feminism, it was a real political shift. The second wave were really political. And I think we need to be political again. You know, there's been examples where I think it was women in Iceland actually stopped work at a certain point during the day. Maybe we need to start doing that, actually making a stand that, you know, as women, we're being paid for this percentage of what men do, so we're going to contribute that percentage. I don't think we're very good at talking about pay. I mean, a lot of people will not, even with your closest friends, you will not talk about what you're paid. But if we don't have those conversations, can we ever get to the point that we understand who's been paid what and where the inequality is?
Here at Bournemouth, do you think there's an equal number of men and women?
I have no idea of the statistics of men and women that are working here. I would suggest that the upper echelons of management are probably weighted towards men. I think it's 6% of chief executives of FTSE 100 companies are women. Yet women make up 51% of the population. So that speaks for itself. Okay, Bournemouth's not a FTSE 100 company, there is research that suggests we recruit almost like for like. So actually, if you see, you know, if you are interviewed by a group of senior managers and you're male and therefore share some instant characteristics and familiarities with them, are you not going to be looked upon more favourably? So I think recruitment processes have to be looked at more closely. I think we need a fair representation of men and women on recruitment panels to help move towards a fair representation of staff.
That sounds like a good place to start with the hiring process.
Yeah. I do, and I think, and I also think, you know, and it's not tokenism. It's not, oh, we'll just have a woman.
Obviously, recently, there's been a lot of scrutiny surrounding Donald Trump and women. Do you think that his time in power will have any impact on women's roles in both the workplace and at home?
What I'm really hoping is that his time in power and his misogyny actually spurs women on to stand up for themselves. You know, my concern is that actually when you have people like him in power, that we are pushing women into more invisible positions. We are removing rights from women. I mean, that I'm horrified by all the issues around birth control. And fortunately for us in the UK, we are in a stronger position to have those rights. But I'm really hoping that rather than having a negative impact, we come out fighting and resist it.
Maybe it is, you know, the kick that people need.
I think, yeah, and I do think, you know, sometimes we do just need to be spurred on to fight again. And I think, you know, we run out of steam sometimes, and let's face it, we're all busy. And, you know, when you're running around having a full-time job and doing everything else that we all do, when it then comes to saying, oh, you know, I'm going to go and protest this weekend or whatever sometimes, but actually we have to take responsibility and we have to all do it. And I think that's what we could possibly take from this, that it's time to actually fight back. And we can't rely on our politicians to do that. It has to be us. So
thank you very much.
No worries.